Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your mega preview pod for this week's Zozo Championship. We're headed to Japan. It's storylines. It's our best bets. It's one and done. Joining me to break it all down, Greg Ducharme is here. Greg, welcome back.
What's going on, guys? I'm fired up for today. Really looking forward to the week. So yeah, it should be another good one. Here we go. Another great field in Japan this week.
We spent the last 10 minutes backstage thinking we were waiting on someone, just firing away the hottest takes that we could find. Kyle Porter was part of that as well. KP, we weren't waiting on anyone. It's a threesome today. Welcome.
Yeah, pace of play should be brisk, should be good. I've got notes. I guess imply that I don't normally have notes, but I have a full page of takes here. So let's get rolling. Let's do it.
All right, Zozo Championship this week in Japan for the first time since 2019. Before we look ahead, let's look back, gentlemen. This event was played one time in Japan before it was moved to Sherwood for the 2020 version. Greg, we were doing a little bit of reminiscing on the DFS podcast on Monday. Feels like a decade ago. 2019 feels like a decade ago. If you remember, let me set the stage for you. It's Wednesday in Japan. Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy, Hideki Matsuyama, Jason Day play the skins game. That happened. Jason Day won it, by the way. Then Tiger Woods comes out, bogeys his first three holes on Thursday, and then proceeds to win the golf tournament, the 82nd of his PGA Tour career. That feels like a decade ago.
It's so long ago. I mean, it's easy to forget. Tiger was coming off of a routine knee surgery. And all of a sudden you're wondering, right? Routine, the air quotes is the key there, Rick. this surgery was a big concern. And would he be able to come off and shake the rust off? And it changed all of our opinion on Tiger and his schedule going forward. This was the event where, because for a long time, I thought Tiger needed a couple reps to get going. And when you saw Tiger play 2 weeks in a row, or 3 weeks out of four, or some three in a row even, the later stage was where he started to excel. And so I very rarely liked his chances in that first week back. But he what he did in the Zozo changed my opinion on that. And unfortunately, that was short-lived. But what a tournament it was. And you're right, Rick. It feels like forever ago.
I've learned that every surgery is routine until it's happening to you. And then you're like, this things could go sideways here. This is a little bit wonky. KP, I'm looking at the top of this leaderboard. Tiger Woods won by three shots over Hideki Matsuyama in Japan. Rory McIlroy finished three shots back of Hideki, and Sungjae tied with Rory for third. And that was like when Sungjae, that would have been his first season out, right? His first fall out. I remember being in a lather watching this thing come down the stretch, because either Hideki was going to win it, Tiger was going to win it, Rory might steal this away, Sungjae might get involved. Like, this was, to me, this was like the this is all good times. I haven't felt this way in a while.
Yeah, and wasn't it like early on a Monday too? Wasn't it a Monday finish, because there was like a
yeah, there was like a huge storm, a huge storm or something. Yeah,
it was.
Yeah,
they had no fans one day here, stateside. It was a Sunday finish stateside, but a Monday finish over there. So it actually ended up falling in like primetime U.S. side.
That's right. That's a great call. Great call, producer Jacob. That's why you get paid all the money. Gary Woodland played with Tiger for the last 36, I think. They didn't change up pairings because of that, because it got delayed or whatever. And I went back and found the quote today. He said, everybody was asked about Tiger, obviously. And Gary Woodland said his ball striking for the last 2 days was an absolute joke. Like it was just, and Woodland had won the U.S. Open like 100 days before that, or 130 days before that, or whatever. And that was pretty cool to hear from somebody who had just won a major. Obviously all quotes about Tiger that are kind of like that are fun to parse through. But, you know, Rick, I thought that win from Tiger, here's a take. I thought that win from Tiger was more shocking than his Masters win, because the Masters win earlier that year, he had played, if you look at the strokes gain data and some of the advanced stuff, he was playing well. He was not really contending at Riviera, Mexico, all these different places, but he was hitting the ball really well leading into that Masters. And I remember thinking, like, I don't really think Tiger's going to win, but I think he could like contend at that Masters. I'm like, Greg, I went into the Zozo thinking like, what is, you know, this is not going to be good. And then he wins the thing. It was really, I thought, one of the more shocking victory. It didn't get the attention, but I thought it was one of the more shocking victories of his career.
Yeah. To Greg's point, he missed 10 weeks before that event. He played the skins game. I thought he looked terrible. He bogeyed his first three holes. I was like, this is going to be ugly. This is going to be really ugly here. I think he dropped like 200-1 at some point on Thursday morning after he bogeyed the first three, and he pulls the thing off in only a way that Tiger can. Fast forward to this year. We're back in Japan, and Greg, we've played the Olympics here. You know, Tokyo 2020, played in 2021, but there were no fans. This time around, we are going to see the Japanese faithful out there, I'm sure, in full force. All 5,000 a day is what they're allowing behind their man, Hideki Matsuyama.
Yes, and Hideki has played well in Japan, and it's well documented how much pressure there is, and how, especially after he won the Masters, how much he meant to the Japanese faithful, as you said, Rick, that their fans over there. It was such a big deal. And it's hard to fathom, for me anyway, what it means to a nation. Because being an American, when an American does well, he's one of many, he or she, in any sport, they're one of many who has a chance to do really well. And so it's hard to compare having one guy that you really lean on, you really hang on, and it's your only option from your nation. So it's hard to wrap your head around how much it means to, how much that Masters victory meant to the Japanese. And now he comes back home to play again for the second time as a Masters champion, and the first time with fans. So I'm very excited to see what his welcome is, how he's received by the fans. And I'm really excited to see how he performs as well. He has a way of stepping up. He's done it before. So I'm really looking forward to it. And I know that there'll be a lot of buzz around Hideki if he gets it going this week.
And I think that Japanese golf has been kind of a through line of the year, right? I mean, it kind of, obviously popped up when Hideki won the Masters, but then you get the Olympics, you not close out the year, but kind of book in the year with this tournament. And we don't, you know, normally you'll get like an event there. And now you've gotten kind of these three touch points. I know that obviously Hideki won in America, but that was a huge deal there. So that's kind of cool. I really like that when there's multiple touch points and multiple, I don't know, just talking points really throughout the year for a country that, we don't see a ton of in the golf world, and not a ton of, you know, obviously PGA Tour events are played there. So I'm excited about that. I think it's a nice ending to what's been a cool year for Japanese golf.
And Greg's absolutely right in the fact that this is the guy. Hideki Matsuyama is by far the guy. Let's play the guessing game like we always do. The number of PGA Tour victories by Japanese players. Any idea how many wins on the PGA Tour by Japanese players?
All time.
I'd guess 8.
It's not a bad guess.
I thought
it's wrong.
I thought.
Well, I mean, you're picking like a number, one number out of a lot of numbers. You were probably going to be wrong.
Well, Hideki's got he's got 6 by himself, so I think it's higher than 8. I'll say 11.
Ooh, 12. But
oh man.
But to your point, Greg, Hideki Matsuyama has half of all PGA Tour victories from Japanese players. So it is not like there is always, and you see this on a Thursday or Friday at any event, if there is a Japanese player in the field, no matter what his stature is or her stature, there is a contingent of media there following them around. And it's just still different with Hideki. Half of all of your country's wins on tour have come from one guy.
Yeah.
And he's the first guy in a long time who has really been a staple, a figurehead for a long period of time on the PGA Tour. We've had pops. We've had some superstars. Ryo Ishikawa, when he first came out, was a superstar in the making. And is still a good player in his own right. It didn't work out on the PGA Tour for him. And with Hideki, he was also a superstar coming out. And you're kind of wondering, is he for real? Can he really make it out on the PGA Tour? You don't see on leaderboards on Sunday, you don't see a lot of Japanese flags up there year over year. It's just rare. And if it is, it's usually Hideki. And so he's been this one man following, and he's really shown through. He's been great. He has contended a lot. He's been in the mix a lot. He's played really well. He's won six times. That's a significant number of wins. And especially when it's half the wins from your nation, it's a big deal.
Do you have the other winners there?
I was just trying to pull it up, and I actually got redirected to one of your articles, by the way, which show up on like SEO all the time. And I was just trying to find, the list, and I keep getting the Japanese all time wins list. So I do not have it handy. If I can find it, I'll let you know.
It's got to be like Shigeki Maruyama and Jumbo Ozaki and.
Yeah.
I wish I had it here. I don't have it here.
Who can say? Producer Jacob can find it by the end of the show.
There is another player in this field with at least, I mean, there's a lot of players in this field with ties to Japan. Don't get me wrong, but Xander Schauffele, the favorite to win this event, KP, Japanese grandparents, I believe. And I think it's noteworthy that, you know, this event is normally part of a swing of golf in Asia where you get guys to go to South Korea and then you get them to go to Japan, and just the logistics are a lot easier. This week, having to come from Las Vegas, having to make the trip, go from Vegas, it's 16 hours ahead to Japan. I mean, it's a grueling trip. And Xander was one of the first to say, I'm in, I'll be there, can't wait for it.
Yeah, Xander, I think, is my top storyline this week in terms of you know, guys that are playing in this field. You could obviously, I think Fowler's interesting. I think we'll talk about Colin Morikawa later on, but I was looking up some Xander stuff today for a preview piece, and we talked about it on Sunday. Ricky Fowler's won an official PGA Tour event more recently than Xander Schauffele, which is shocking. Like I've looked it up like 10 times, and I still am like, it's extremely hard to believe. Obviously he won the shadow leaderboard at the Tour Championship in 2020. He won the Olympics. Neither of those are official PGA Tour events. And I think I'm really struggling with how to view him. I always have it. Well, not always. I think I have for the last two or three years, 'cause he's evolved into this, like, he's a number, what, five player in the world? Six? Four?
Five.
Whatever. Yeah, five. But he doesn't win. Like, it's really hard to reconcile. I looked this up. So since the Monday after he won Kapalua in 2019, so he wins Kapalua on a Sunday, that Monday until today, I looked up the top guys in terms of strokes gained. So those are the guys that are like, they've just played the best over that period of time. Out of the top 13, he's the only one without a win. Everybody else, and almost everybody else, has at least like three. So it's Rom, it's JT, Morikawa, Hovland has a couple. It's all the names that you would expect. I think Paul Casey has one. I think Reed has one or two. So there's some guys that have not won a ton, but everybody else has won except for Xander. And Xander was like fifth on that list. Like, he's been the fifth best player in the world if you're looking at strokes gained since the day after he won the Tournament of Champions. And maybe that's cherry picking a stat, but it's still like he just hasn't won. And I don't know. I'm curious about y'all's just opinion of him and take on him. And I've got some more numbers here, but I want to hear from you guys.
I think, well, first of all, he's kind of the hardest guy to reconcile. So you pointed out the number five player in the world that doesn't win, but it's weird because for his official world golf rankings, he does win. He's been credited with two wins. He's been credited with the Olympics victory and the 72 hole shadow leaderboard. So those things don't even reconcile with one another. He's got six wins in 5 years, according to the official world golf rankings. That's not how the rest of the world necessarily views him. And I think the way that I see it, Greg, is here is a guy who can compete and can contend at every single event. Is he a superstar? I don't think so. Is he a star? Absolutely. Would I be surprised to see him win multiple major championships? No. Do I think he's underperforming? Maybe. I don't know. He is such a strange fella because we do put so much on these victories. I really don't know what kind of category he falls into, and not like it matters. This is a thing that we do in the media, but he's such a interesting guy.
It's amazing to look at what he's done on the PGA Tour since coming out in 2017. Just look at his final. And look, a lot of this has to do with East Lake. I acknowledge that. But if you look at his FedEx Cup standings, where he's finished in his career, it's amazing. It's third in 2017, 15th in 18, second in 19, second in 20, fifth in 2021. So this guy among his peers has been I'd call that a superstar, but he hasn't won. And that does hold that holds him back from really being a superstar. Does the Olympics go a little, does that push him over the edge into being a superstar? I don't think so in the golf world. It counts. And I'd give him a little bit of credit for that because
it's just such a bad field though, right?
It's a bad field. It's a bad field. But if the question is, can you get the job done? Can you win on Sunday? For instance, in all the great fields, he proves that he can compete. He proves he has the ability to play with these guys. He's not a notch below anybody. His game is as well-rounded as anybody's. We talk about it seemingly every week. But the big question is, much like it has been with Ricky Fowler in the past and Tony Finau and some of these other guys that regularly contend but don't win, he has won. It just, they haven't counted. And so you get in that moment, right?
What an idiotic sport this is.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. He wins. Winning the gold medal, I give much more credit to than winning the shadow leaderboard. And here's why. When you come down to the 72nd hole with a chance to win the gold medal, you feel, you don't think about, oh, well,
you know
who's playing in this? Right? You got Rory McIlroy and Colin Morikawa and all the guys, Hideki Matsuyama, you have all Sung Jae Im, you have all these guys, Mito, who are right there in the mix with you. And that's why I think
Mito shot.
Thank you. So thank you for talking to Mito with Rory McIlroy, Colin Morikawa, and Mito Pereira.
He may not belong now, but one day he might. He just popped into my head, and he's a great player and a winner. So when you come down the stretch in an event and you have the strength of field, in my opinion, should float. I don't think it should just be simply what happens at the start of the week. I think there should be a sort of like the bicameral legislator we have here in the U.S. There should be another way to match, to rank the difficulty of an event. You come down the stretch with John Rahm and you're dueling it out on Sunday afternoon and you beat him, and he's in the top 10 on the leaderboard on Sunday. Well, that's a big deal. And it doesn't really matter who's in 15th or worse place. You're not competing with them on Sunday when it's winning time. So Xander has gone into winning time with a good group of players in the mix and beat them. So he can win. And then he goes into these other events and competes and shows all of his skills and all that. But in the Tour Championship, the shadow leaderboard, I give almost, other than he plays really well at East Lake, I don't give it any credit because he comes down the stretch thinking he's trailing. that mindset is DJ's beating me right now. I got to catch him. And you don't have the pressure of I'm winning. And I don't think he's looking over his shoulder saying, well, what? Okay. So he started at 10 under. I started at 5. So, okay, I'm winning. Hey, we're winning. Imagine, we're winning this thing. According to official. That's not happening. So I give him a little extra credit. I don't put him in the category of Finau, who's gotten himself out of it, but he's been there before, the Fowler area, where these are guys who we doubt their ability to win. I don't doubt his ability to win. I think this has been a strange stretch that's going to end soon.
Can you imagine DJ doing that math of who started where and trying to figure it out coming home on Sunday? I do think there's a scenario in which this is a little bit of a can't lay situation where at the start of 2021, you might say, like, man, I know his numbers, but am I overrating Cantlay because he wins, but like not as much yeah. as it seems like he should based on his, and then all of a sudden he wins whatever, 3 out of 10. And you're like, oh no, I had Cantlay right. It just took a while for the wins to kind of cascade. I did write down, I want to get y'all's guesses on this, because I wrote down winning PGA Tour winning percentage over the course of their career. So let's go Xander first, and then I've got some guys to put like pit him against. What do you guys think Xander's winning percentage is?
So this is just PGA Tour.
PGA Tour.
I'm gonna do so divided by it's gotta be
so
eight no. 4 out of like 2%. No. Why can't I do the math? What's like 4 divided by 120?
Well, Rick, I mean, doing the math isn't guessing here. We're supposed to be 3%. Guessing.
3%. Well, I'm 3%. Guessing at how many events he's played, how many.
Oh, you're guessing. All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
3%. So I would guess 6%.
It's 3.3.
Pretty good, Rick.
So okay. Yeah.
How about 3?
He's got 4.
Oh, okay.
How about Hideki?
So if Xander's got, 3.
Does he have I think Hideki has 5 wins. So he's got 5 wins. I would guess he's been around for a long time.
So with Xander as the 3.3 benchmark, what do you think Hideki
is? Yeah, I'm going to go with 5%. Because I'll say I think he wins more often.
I'll say lower.
Are you going to give a number, or are you just like,
how about 3% flat?
3% exactly, Greg. You got it.
Wow, really? Greg.
I think he's 6 for 200, but that might be wrong, but maybe I did the math wrong, but it's right at 3%. Okay. Give me 2 more. One, Bryson. What do you think Bryson's winning percentage is?
Oh, Bryson's he's gotta be higher than that, right? Cause he has like 8 wins or something. So he's gotta be 5% then.
I'll say 6%.
6 exactly.
Oh, Greg, wow. You're a human win percentage fire. Calculator.
It's like and trivia all over again.
Go, don't bring that's PTSD.
I'm sorry. That was dirty. I'm sorry.
Go, Rory.
So 20 out of 10 years. So if he played 18 or 20 a year out of like 200 ish, no, he's got to play more than that. Well, maybe not. 210. So it's like 9%.
10%?
Yeah.
I'll say 8. I'll say 8%.
9.8%.
So, oh, yes. Man. That's dirty.
Yeah.
That's so almost, dirty.
Almost 10%. Ricky was at, I think, 1.8%.
Yeah.
Which those numbers are hard because they fluctuate a lot based on when your last win was, right? So, like, mm-hmm. Yeah, it should, anyway. But, yeah, I'm pretty sure that Hideki's won 6 out of 200, but that I don't know. Maybe producer Jacob can look that up. Anyway, Xander's number was a little bit higher than I thought it would be, and I think again that speaks to like he hasn't played. It seems like he's been out there a long time, and he really hasn't. So if like let's say he wins this week and he wins the Riviera. All of a sudden, he's at like almost a Bryson-like winning percentage, and then right. You're kind of talking about him in the way you're talking about a Cantlay of like, Oh yeah, he kind of is who the number said he was. So I don't know. We'll see. I think he's super interesting to talk about and discuss, and I think he'll be really intriguing this week also.
Speaking of Ricky, and we can be a little quick on Ricky because I think we talked about him on Sunday. We talked about him on Monday. And Greg, you know, you and I chatted about, you can visually see the differences in his swing now. They're that iconic swing that you could pick out from 100 yards away. You could still see it there, but it's not the same. And he played really well at the CJ Cup at Summit Club with some really sticky numbers that make me optimistic about him moving forward. I'm interested about how optimistic you are for on him moving forward.
Ricky Fowler.
Thank you. So good.
I'm quite optimistic. And the reason is more so than numbers, because he had some weeks last year where I think I ran through a couple numbers, and I think there were five events all of last year where he gained both off the tee and approaching the green, which is a very low percentage. There was a lot of ups and downs in Ricky's game. And it was kind of the whack-a-mole effect where, oh, he had his irons great, but he drove it terribly. And then the opposite happens the next week. And then you add putting in the mix, and there's just no consistency. But what we saw last week, what I saw last week, was a guy willing, despite the comment he made on number 12 about being a chicken, he wasn't a chicken very often. And he was able to hit driver on some areas where he's carrying these bunkers by 3 yards up the left-hand side, cutting over the corner. And it's like he knew he wasn't going to miss it left. It's like he knew the long par three, was it 11? It might've been 11. And I might've that whole number wrong, but
no,
it's a long par three down the hill with a penalty area on the left. And Rory hits a draw in there, and there's kind of a side slope. There's a way to access the hole location from the right, which is safe. And Ricky just steps up there and hits this like 1 or 2 yard fade and flags it. And I was like, this guy's got trust in his swing. So when I see that, and I know he went and talked to Butch, and there's kind of reasons why, and the work looks like it's coming together. The one thing that's left, assuming he can do this again for this week, is putting. And I wouldn't be surprised if Ricky had a nice putting week at some point here soon. But I think his ball striking is enough to keep him in the mix, especially in a no-cut event. I saw some very positive signs with the eye test last week, and the numbers bared that out for sure.
He outdrove Rory, KP. Outdrove Rory last week. Always a good thing to do. But I don't know. Have we even seen flashes like this? I say this is a five round stretch, right? He played well on Friday at Shriners, and of course the four rounds last week. This might be the best 5 round stretch, and I know it's only five, in like 18 months for Ricky.
Yeah, I mean, even I referenced this on Sunday, but the PGA Championship was his only top 10 in his last 37 events before the CJ Cup. And a lot of that was just a hot putter, you know, and so it feels a little like, I mean, the thing I wrote down about him is it feels a little bit like, remember Spieth at Phoenix this year, where you're like, oh, okay. Like, he's kind of stringing together some rounds, and then he goes to Pebble and does it again. Like, that's hopefully for Fowler, like, that's the area of kind of where Spieth is at, that it, and I'm not comparing Fowler to Spieth, but in terms of like the apex of their games, but that feels like kind of where he's at with things, to where it's like, okay, I think I believe in this, but you'd like to see it for, I don't know, 10 rounds or 15 rounds. Not that you have to be at the level you were at the CJ Cup, but just those positive strokes gain on ball striking, consecutive rounds in a row, or 10 out of 12 or whatever. That to me is kind of where we're at with Fowler.
And one other thing on this, he had in that stretch last year where he didn't have any top 10, there was a stretch where he had 8 out of 11 events with a round of 75 or higher, 75 or higher. And that's a bad sign. That's a sign where it can all fall apart. And seeing the bad round last week be under the pressure of being in the final group, and it's a 71 and you make a silly double on a par five. That's a really, really good sign for me.
Gentlemen, it's going to be one of those weird timing coffee weeks. So here is the broadcast window on Wednesday evening, Eastern time Wednesday, 11:30 PM. So that's almost midnight for those of you struggling on time zones and days. Almost midnight on Wednesday evening, the broadcast window opens and goes till 2:30 AM. So KP, how much and how will you consume this event?
I will not be doing the Olympics thing again where I stayed up until, you know, 4 a.m. and thought I was going to have to go to the hospital every, you know, the next day. I'll probably watch it like the first part of it and at on regular time here in Dallas. And then I'll just kind of put the pieces together and recap the following morning. So, it's the dream scenario is kind of what you got in 2019. Obviously you don't want a natural disaster there, but like you get it in prime time on Sunday night. That's awesome. Like that's sweet. So yeah, it's probably won't be grinding out the 3 a.m. night on Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Greg, you probably haven't even slept yet since Derrick Henry went off for another 3 touchdowns. So you might as well just roll this. You might as well just roll this all week long. Just don't sleep, my friend.
See, here's the thing about sleep when you have young kids. Kyle may know a thing or two about this. I'm not sure how much help he has, but there's no catching up. There's no, Saturday afternoon, I stayed up till 3. I'm going to take a nap.
Yes.
That just does not exist in my life now. So if I stay up to watch the end of a football game, which I did not make it through the fourth quarter, I'm in trouble for a period of time. So yeah. I'm with you, Kyle. I'm watching highlights. I'm trying to catch everything that I can. I may watch a little bit in that midnight time frame, but there's no recourse for me, no opportunity to catch up. And I can't do that to myself.
That's totally true. You get like 2 hours sleep and you're like, well, there's, you know, 4 tiny crazy people running around. I don't know what the path forward is here. You know, I don't know what the way forward is. So that's
and what's the next night going to look like? Are they going to decide to wake up or what am I going to do? It's all going to end. I mean, it's bad.
Having no sleep is like it's like compounding interest. Like it just keeps.
That's true.
Keeps getting you. Okay, gentlemen, we're going to move on to our best bets, our one and done. But Jacob and I have been grinding hard. We got the wins. We got the 12 wins here. Here they are: Hideki Matsuyama, 6 of them, half. Shigeki Moriyama, 3. Iso Aoki, 1, and I believe that was the first one. I believe he was the first.
Correct. It was the 1983 Hawaiian Open. I just looked it up.
Okay. Ryuji Amada won the 2008 AT&T Classic over Kenny Perry. And then the most recent non-Hideki win, Satoshi Kodaira won at Heritage. Yeah, in 18, I believe.
Yeah.
So that's 12 Japanese victories. There they are.
Good stuff there. I love that producer Jacob didn't jump in on this and made you pronounce everybody. So good job by him there. That's normally he would have jumped in and he did not.
All right, gentlemen, best bets one and done coming up. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it?
Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And we're back. Best bets. Let's go. Okay, we're getting better at these. The first 2 weeks, I think we whiffed on every single one, but we've been much better recently. So this is where we go over to our friends at Caesars Sportsbook. We scroll through everything. We open up all those little tabs. We click all the nationalities. We find what we can find, and we say, this one right here, this is the best bet. Greg, your best bet, I like. It's a continuation from something we talked about on Monday's DFS preview. What is your best bet?
So the best bet thing is interesting because there's a degree of safety to it. You don't want your best bet, the one you're trying to get right. You don't want it to be a winner, for instance. But at the same time, you want to have some odds. You want to have a little bit of, you know, upside to it. So mine is a player who I'm very high on, who's a dark horse, who I think can finish in the top 20. So I like expanding that to top 20 in case Sunday gets a little nervy. You know, I'm not going to go crazy with a first round leader or anything here, but Tom Hoagie, I think, is going to finish in the top 20 this week. When I look at the leaderboard from last time, I know the data says driving distance is really important, but I see a litany of great iron players, including Tiger Woods and Hideki Matsuyama and Sung Jae-im and Rory McIlroy. Even Gary Woodland back in that time period was a really solid top 10. I think he was 10th, actually, 10th in strokes gained approach the green. So we had a list of really good iron players, really good ball strikers. And that's more of my lean this week than the driving distance thing. And Tom Hoagie is a guy who, one, plays really well in the fall time, and two, is a really good iron player. And last year he was 52nd, and he had kind of a fall off towards the end of the year. For much of the year, he was much higher in that ranking. He's gained in, we talked about on Monday, Rick, I think it's four straight events he's gained significantly strokes gained approach the green. He's come and tied 36 at the Fortinet. He missed the cut at the Sanderson Farms. He came and tied 14th at the Shriners and tied 32nd last week. This is something we saw from him last year too. In the fall time, he had a really, really nice run early on in the season, made a whole bunch of cuts in a row, a couple top 25s. And I think with his iron ability and the fact, with that iron ability, which I love, and his confidence right now, I think he's going to finish in the top 20.
Four straight events, he's gained at least three strokes on approach, I believe is the metric that we referenced on Monday's show. So Greg is going with Tom Hoagie to finish inside the top 20. For that wager, you will get 3-2-1 on your bet. I'm going with a Mark Immelman special, top South African. There are four of them in the field: Eric Van Rooyen, Brandon Grace, Garrick Higo, and my pick, Sean Norris. Let's go 4-1. Ooh. Sean Norris got in this field thanks to, do we have this drop ready? Mr. Paul Casey withdrawing.
Give me Paul Casey there.
Yeah, don't give me Paul Casey. Give me Sean Norris here, because Sean Norris is 4-1. Sean Norris plays primarily on the Japan Golf Tour. Sean Norris won last week in an event that had a 28 strength of field. Oh, Rick, what's a 28 strength of field? What does that look like? Well, it's better than the Barbasol. I love Seamus Power. Sorry, Seamus. That event was better. It's the same as the Corrales Punta Cana Resort and Club Championship. Sean Norris has to beat three other South Africans 4-1. He's my guy.
I've never said anything as intensely as Coach said, give me Paul Casey, in my whole life.
Yeah. Be passionate about something.
Give me Paul Casey there.
Like never. Coach is passionate about.
I've never even gotten close to that, I don't think.
That's Coach. You just turn him up to 100, you let him go.
My best bet, which I did not submit, so apologies for that, producer Jacob. I've got a couple here that I'm intrigued by. I wanted to go with the bread man. Greg went with the hoagie. I wanted to go with the bread man over Lonto Griffin, minus 120. Wonto Griffin, 50th from tee to green in his last 20 rounds. And the bread man is first in his last 20 rounds from tee to green of everybody in this field. He's bread man's flushing it. And he won the bronze medal in Japan. Not that that has much to do with this tournament, but we've seen him not only play well recently, but play well in Japan this year. He'll come up later on again. I think I'm actually going to go with Colin Morikawa over Garrett Kiggo and EVR. That's -110 last time I looked.
We are fade that. I can get on board with that. We can fade the South Africans together.
Yeah,
that's fine.
And that was a little better odds even than CT Pan over Lanto. That was
I like those odds. Those are good odds.
Yeah, so I'm gonna go with Morikawa.
So Kyle is going with Colin over Higo at EVR -110 for his best bet. We called Coach, and Coach did phone one in. He's going with that man Ricky Fowler over Emiliano Grillo, -120 for Ricky. So he is buying into Fowler.
Ricky Fowler.
To be fair, Coach usually phones in most of his picks, so this was nothing new for him.
You said it. I did not, my friend. Let's move on to our picks. Top 10, sleeper, and a pick to win. And oh boy, Greg, how what's your comfort level here on handicapping this event, my friend?
My comfort level, I would say, is a 6.5 out of 10.
Pretty good.
There's only one event, but I don't necessarily mind that. I think last week you had a kind of a flavor of the golf course designer and what Fazio was trying to do. And it worked to a degree. It worked, I would say, a little more. I would say it worked about 65% of the way. The model I drew up in my head, this one, I kind of feel similar. I mean, you're basing it off a 1 leaderboard from the past. I could see it. I could see it happening again to a degree. So yeah, I would say 6.5.
All right. Well, 6.5 is probably more comfortable than I feel. So let's start. Well, your sleeper. It's Tom Hoagie.
Yep. Yeah. Same deal. I mean, I think Tom Hoagie finishing in the top 20 is a safe play. That's why I feel like it's the best bet. I feel like it's a lot safer than say a top 10, which I think is a real possibility for him this week. So he's in good form. I think there's a good course fit. I'm rolling with him as my sleeper.
Coach is going with Ryan Palmer as his sleeper. Kyle, you have alluded to this. You have teased this. Your sleeper for this week, Zozo, is whom?
The bread man, CT Pan. His numbers are great. I think he has 2 top 15s to start the year. And I care less about that than I do about just how well he's hitting the ball. I think he was 40-1 to win. So I really like him this week. I think he's going to play well.
Yeah, he is. He's flushing it. I can confirm that. Okay, I'm going with one Harry Higgs, who had himself a great little Vegas swing. I think he was 27th or 29th at the Shriners. Then he finished T9 at the CJ Cup. He struck it well. He's putting it a little bit better. Harry Higgs, 66-1, is my sleeper. Top 10. Greg, I hate to tell you this, my friend. Your top 10 is the same as Coach's, which is usually the kiss of death. Who you going with?
Man, this is making me rethink everything. I mean, is it too many times to hear the drop again?
No.
Ricky Fowler.
That's what I thought. It's never enough. I wish when I opened my mouth to say Ricky Fowler, that came out. That would be awesome. But yeah, Ricky Fowler, my top 10 bet. I think he's going to have another really strong week. Kyle brought it up earlier, Jordan going to Pebble, that same kind of feel. I feel very similar. I'm glad he brought that up because I felt the same way looking at Ricky last week. There was something different about what he was doing with his swing. And when you see that, regardless of what the numbers say, there's a spark of confidence. And Jordan was doing a couple things different off the tee. He wasn't hitting that single shot out to the right. He wasn't making the big number. For Ricky, the bad round seemingly getting better. There's more trust in his full swing. So yeah, I'm rolling him out as a top 10 this week.
Didn't Spieth go see Butch Harmon right before his run also?
And it was a very similar circumstance where he just got some confirmation. He went out there with Cam McCormick and got the stamp of approval. And it can, that can make a huge difference in confidence. So Butch is he's definitely a whisperer out there.
I want to be described as a whisperer of something. Like Rick's the
Daily Fantasy Sports.
The Strokes Gain Whisperer.
All right, I'll take that. Kyle, is that a new flag behind you? Did you add a Whistling Straits flag behind you?
I did. I actually got it from my editor, Adam Silverstein. So I need to get it to him instead of propping it up in my background.
Oh, that's not even yours. You don't even, that's not, you're shipping that out.
Yes. It's, oh. Yeah, it's fake. Oh, I do have this Ryder Cup. Well, there it is. This Ryder Cup Yeti.
Oh, is that a half? I love that. So I'm a sucker for all of these, right? Like I've got all the coffee mugs, the travel mugs. I don't have a half one. I like that.
Yeah. The half one is phenomenal. I got it for my wife and I've basically just been using it the whole time. So
got a mug for the wife. You use it, got a flag for Adam. You're using that as well. Congratulations. Now, why don't you give us your top 10 pick for the Zozo Championship?
It's a tough look for me. I've got Morikawa. He was so bad in the FedEx Cup playoffs and he was so good last week. He hit it. He almost won because he putted well, but he would have top 10 regardless of how he putted. He hit it great. And I think that, it seemed like kind of a rebound to where just his baseline, which is the best iron player in the world and a really good driver as well. And so to me, it was between him and Xander, obviously, to finish in the top 10, but I really loved how he played last week.
I'm going with Keegan Bradley because I am a sucker and a loser, and I cannot quit these no putt guys. But Keegan is in six rounds this year. He's like a positive putter. Just give me that. Just give me neutral Keegan, and watch him finish T8, and I'll be thrilled.
Who's the guy that you most wish you could make a zero putter? Like consistent, like every week. Yeah. I was going to say Griot.
Looking for some value or something, Kyle Stanley would be up there.
Yeah, but the value would be gone. Crazy. If you could make him a zero, the value would be gone.
Stanley would be the best player on the planet with a zero.
Right.
Player.
I mean, all of those guys.
Yeah, that'd be fun. If I could wave my wand. Winners, picks to win. We've got four different picks here, which is always fun. Coach is going with Hideki Matsuyama. I'm going with Johnny Vegas. Just because 33-1 in this field where it's pretty top heavy, but Vegas has been much better than I think people want to give him credit for. I'm going with Johnny Vegas at 33-1. Greg, you are taking someone who will probably win this golf tournament. Like, yeah, it's going to work.
Colin Morikawa.
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, my lean, as I said earlier, is to iron play. That's what I was harping on with Hoagie. All my DFS plays are iron players. That's what my model is based on. And I'm taking the best iron player in the world here in a very top heavy field. Xander was a debate of mine. I think Xander's going to give it a really good run as well, but there's something about Colin Morikawa that just feels like he's ready to, for a guy that's won, it's two majors already. It feels like he's ready to explode. And there is a very clear reason for the poor performance in the playoffs. Ironically, it was a trip to Japan where he hurts his back. I don't think he's going to injure himself on the plane ride over there. So I think he's going to get there. He's probably there now, healthy, ready to go. And I think his game is the best in the field. And I think he has a way of getting it done when he's supposed to. So I can't help but love Colin Morikawa this week. And he impressed me last week. I knew he was a member there, but it's not easy to go out as the member of a club and a home game, a rare home game on the PGA Tour and show up like that. So, yeah, I think he's holding the trophy at the end of the week.
Colin Morikawa, 7.5 to 1 to win this golf tournament. Thanks to our friends over at Caesars Sportsbook. KP, that leaves you to put a bow on our winners. 22 to 1, your pick to win is who?
Joaquin Niemann.
Mm.
So I love it.
I read this website called rickrungood.com, and the guy, site. The proprietor of the website, put out a great newsletter today.
Oh, thank you.
Talking about birdie or better percentage, I believe it was. I think Neiman's like third in the field in birdie or better. I don't remember the time frame there. Apologies for that.
I think it was 50 rounds I did.
Okay, so last 50 rounds. You know, he hit the ball really well last week. He putted horribly, and I like that because I think, again, like he's an average putter. He's an okay putter. And, you know, I'm just kind of betting that like he'll rebound after a bad week of putting. So I'm excited about him. He's hitting the ball very well. I think he was top five in this field in his last 20 rounds from tee to green. Not quite as good as CT Pan, but good enough. And I think he's got probably more win equity than somebody like a CT Pan, which is reflected in his odds. So I'm going with Joaquin.
Not quite as good as CT Pan is a sentence that does not often get uttered on a golf show. So I love your use of it there.
Well, there was 57 guys at the Olympics that weren't quite as good as CT Pan.
That's right. Got it done. Just to recap, I'm going with Johnny Vegas. Kyle's going with Joaquin Niemann. Greg's going with Colin Morikawa. And the coach is going with Hideki Matsuyama, which leaves us with one final thing to do. It is the one and done.
Real quick, on the one and done, why is this? So this purse is within $1.5 million of the Masters and the Open Championship.
It's bigger than last week's, too.
How is that possible? How does that happen?
Corporate sponsorship, probably.
That's probably true.
Incentivizing golfers to go to Japan.
That I think is the number one reason. You push for that so that you're trying to. The reason you have an event there is to grow the game globally, right? You want to grow your not the game. You want to grow your tour around the globe. So that's why the CJ Cup at Nine Bridges is a huge field. They have a WGC event in a typical year in China and this event, and they elevate those to they want the stars to play in the Asia swing, if you will.
So this is going to be something we'll continue to see, Kyle. We saw this a little bit with the players that we talked about with the Tournament of Champions. All these purses are going to get much, much bigger, but I'm getting word. I'm getting word that someone is here to defend himself, and it is the coach. Coach, are your ears ringing? Welcome from the top ropes, the coach.
Let me just say this, boys. I got on a plane this morning in Philadelphia. Oh, I went to Atlanta. I flew Atlanta to Orange Simmons? County. What's that?
Were you hanging out with Ben Simmons?
No, he didn't show up. Snap. So I land, I drive home, I host an hour mega NFL preview. And then what do I get texted to me? That some clown named David Wheatcroft? Isn't he a golfer too? He's going to call me out like I'm scared to come on the pod when I started off 0-for-3 in my one and done. David, let me tell you something, son. I created this one and done. But one thing I'm not going to do is come in and not give everybody else a chance. That's something I'm not going to do. So I'm going to give them the lead. That's what I'm trying to do. But I came back strong with a T18. I blew Xander with a T18. I feel good about that. So I'm never – the coward showed up. Whoa, David. You know one thing that's never happened to me, boys? One thing that's never happened to me, because, you know, as you know, I'm a former professional wrestler. Everybody loves to talk when they're typing, and then when they see me in person, they ask for a picture or they ask for an autograph. And I have a feeling that's what David would do, too. But
I might ask for that hat. I like that hat you're wearing.
Oh, thank you very much. Out here, there's so many different Angels hats. Like, there's like 20 different ones. So I bought up all of them. So I'm sorry for interrupting.
No.
Rick, I'm sorry for interrupting, but I felt like I had to come on and say something.
There is no other place in the world that you control the coach and 5 minutes later have him pop on and call you out by name and tell you how wrong you are. That just doesn't exist anywhere else, but it happens here. And coach, you're here at the perfect time because we are doing the one and done. And you are absolutely right. You got your T18 from Xander Schauffele last week. You are locked with Kyle. With giving the rest of us plenty of space to get out ahead before you turn the corner here. And you've got a big, big purse to take advantage of this week in a no-cut event. Who are you going with?
And here's why I went with this player, because when you're playing a home game, when you're playing in front of your peeps, when you're in front of your crew, you want to play well. And I felt like Hideki Matsuyama got screwed over at the Olympic Games. But not this week at the Zozo, boys. Not this week. So lock me in, the Masters champ, Hideki. Yes, I know I'm blowing him early, but I feel like I need to get back in it because just like the Players, boys, I can't let you get too far out ahead because then I'm playing catch-up all year, and we know Mark is just going to talk and talk and talk and talk if he gets too much of a lead on me, and I cannot let that happen. So lock in Hideki. Boom.
Is Mark going to show up now that Coach is talking trash about him?
That's what we should have done.
No, just like his one and done picks, he's going to show up an hour late. So I don't even know.
Wow. I thought you were going to come after me, Coach, because earlier producer Jacob said that you phoned in your picks. And I said, well, that's not uncommon. That's kind of what he's been doing for about a year now.
I tip my hat to that comment.
Oh, my goodness,
you know,
Coach.
I can't even look at that.
Yeah, there it is. 160,000. You're a busy man, Coach. You've been flying over. You want to hang for 5 minutes? You out of here. You got to go. You got to run.
Follow the coach
on Twitter at the Coach Rules. Be careful.
I miss you guys.
If you troll Coach, he might come after you. Thank you very much, Coach. Wow, how about that?
That's awesome.
You don't want that smoke, David. All right, boys, I love you. I'll be back in January. Love you guys.
See you, Coach.
That's so good. My God, we got the full-on – we got the coach experience right there. Whew. I love it.
And David's still talking. Awesome.
Yeah, David is not scared. I'm very scared for David. KP. Yeah, not for me. KP, you also share the distinction of 116,331 with – the coach. You, however, have chosen to be the lone wolf this week. Yep. Because you are the only guy taking this golfer.
I'm not scared. I'm burning him early. It's a huge purse. I mean, this is a purse that is like worthy of it. It's got to be one of the, what, 9 biggest purses of the year, probably?
Yeah.
10? I don't know. So I'm going Colin Morikawa. I'm using him. Number 3 player in the world.
I thought more
people would go with him.
You know what? Yeah, we have a consensus pick this week. And I'm in the consensus and I don't love it. And I had narrowed it down to this guy and another guy. So we'll talk about that in just a second. But yeah, you're the lone wolf. Colin Morikawa, a huge opportunity to make a lot of money and move up this leaderboard. So
yeah, I'm excited. I'm glad nobody else picked him. Now we'll probably miss. Well, there's not a cut. He'll probably finish T70.
Sia Najad, who has 135,128, is going with Johnny Vegas. I certainly don't mind that. He was my pick to win earlier. I have 406,000, and I am in that very consensus along with Jacob and with you, Greg. I'll get to you in a second, Greg, with Hideki Matsuyama. Jacob, come on in here. We were actually conversing. So Jacob does not put the picks in the outline until everyone submits them. That's one of Coach's rules. And when we found out that the coach was also going with Hideki, I wanted to use my backup. I wanted to, like, give me Ricky, give me anybody, but we're riding with the coach this week, Jacob. Is this a ride that we're going to want to get off in about 5 minutes?
Well, look, we say it all the time because we do Early Edge Daily. We give out about half a dozen picks, and a couple times this year, we've lost every single pick we've given out on the day. Coach has essentially lost every single pick he's given out for this one-and-done league, which is almost more difficult to do than winning every single pick. I mean, I guess it's a little different in golf because you have, you know, it's not the binary option of win-lose. But I think that this broken clock is going to be right this week.
I love it. That's my hope. I hope so. I hope so, because Greg, you're also in on this, my friend, and you're in the lead. You are at 1.7 million. You are at danger here of losing that spot with, you know, I guess not to Mark, I guess not to Jacob, I guess not to me. Actually, you're probably not in danger of losing this top spot.
Well, I mean, it's a big field, right? So of course I'm in danger. If Colin Morikawa goes out there and wins, and can Kyle catch me? I feel like if he wins and I lay a near goose egg.
So what is what?
I think it's 1.7 is the purse.
I think it is too. So he could get there. But you're going with Ricky Fowler this week. Sorry, you're going with Ricky Fowler this week. And depending on what he does, you could still be. I will take any bet that you want that you will be in the lead of this one and done on Sunday evening.
Okay. Well, I know Rick. You liked Ricky. He was a guy that was your backup, if I can say that.
Correct.
So I'm rolling with the hot hand. I feel like he's a big enough star to use in an event like this. It's a no-cut event, so that risk of the high round, which still lingers in my mind, is still there. But he has the ability to make a ton of birdies, and he has the ability to shoot some really low scores. So I'm riding the horse. I'm riding the hot wave. Hideki was in my mind. Colin Morikawa was in my mind. Xander Schauffele was in my mind because it is such a big field, such a big purse, and a no-cut event. But I'm rolling out Ricky.
Ricky didn't putt that well last week either.
No, poorly.
Yeah, he lost a stroke and a half, I think. Also, I'm an idiot. I misread the way that we have the selections versus the standings. They're not in the same order. So, Greg, you could absolutely not be in the lead on Sunday night, like very, very easily. My book is closed for taking any bet that you will be in the lead on Sunday.
Come on.
You should have got your bets in the 30 seconds that I realized I was very, very wrong on that.
I kind of thought that was just a pro Ricky statement.
I mean, I am pro Ricky this week, but I was not willing to take any bet on that. All right. So here we go. Let me recap this correctly this time. So here we go. This week's picks. Coach is going with Hideki Matsuyama. Kyle is going with Colin Morikawa. Sia is going with Johnny Vegas. I'm going with Hideki Matsuyama. Jacob is going with Hideki Matsuyama. Mark is going with Hideki Matsuyama. And Greg, atop the leaderboard, going with Ricky Fowler. That is the correct assessment of our one and done pool. Which means we're at the end, gentlemen. Anything else before we get out of here? What are we going to do? Go Sunday morning? What's our Sunday recap plan?
I mean, I was going to talk about that offline, but
okay, we'll talk about that
if we want to plan that out right now. But definitely Sunday during the day. I don't think there's as much of a need to stay up until like 4 or 5 a.m. Eastern as there was during the Olympics.
Fair,
never again.
And I imagine people might be a little preoccupied on Sundays. KP,
19 of the last 21 winners on the PGA Tour have not led or co-led after 54 holes.
Phil.
So they've trailed.
Phil for sure.
He only did it twice. He only did it at 2 weeks in a row, actually. BMW and the Tour Championship. Tour Championship scores are somewhat fabricated, but if you're going by PGA Tour, he did it at that event as well.
There is a wager. I know this is different, but there is a wager that you can make on Caesars whether the winner will come out of the final group. And for them to not come out of the final group is plus money. I forget what the line is, plus 150, something like that.
You would have made a lot of money.
Yeah, and I was like scratching my head like that. If I was betting that the last 20 weeks, I'd probably be pretty rich right now.
Yep.
Yeah.
You would. Mm.
All right. Gentlemen, that'll do it. Mega preview pod for this week's Zozo Championship. Let me thank producer Jacob, does all the hard work behind the scenes. That right there, it's Greg Ducharme. You can find him on Twitter at The Real GFD. Kyle Porter, who you can find at Kyle Porter CBS. And you can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut, and we'll catch you next time.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the flake. and Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount+.